Remember the good old days? Those wonderful times when we all gathered together to hear those great stories that let our imaginations run wild. It was a simpler time when you could let your hair down and relax, a time of glory and honor. Well, come join us in the living room and relive those fun times again as we enjoy classic TV and radio shows right here on Radio America.
Chesterfield time, pleasure time, the order of the day with radio listeners everywhere. Chesterfield presents George Burns and Gracie Allen, Frank Parker, Ray Noble and his orchestra. All right, Ray, one, two. This is Paul Douglas speaking, and last week I told you how Chesterfield's tobacco buyers visit the leading markets of the world to get the best cigarette tobaccos. Every one of these tobaccos is outstanding for some quality smokers like, and the way Chesterfield blends and balances them together gives a lot more smoking pleasure. Here's the reason. Chesterfield's have the right combination of mild, ripe, homegrown, and aromatic Turkish tobaccos rolled in pure cigarette paper. No cigarette can do more for you than Chesterfield. No other cigarette can give you Chesterfield's refreshing mildness, better taste, and more pleasing aroma. It's the blend that can't be copied. Chesterfield's satisfy millions. Campers have their weekends under the pine trees. Swimmers have their weekends under beach umbrellas. Astronomers have their weekends under the stars. But George and Gracie have their weekends under their hats. In other words, Chesterfields give you chess to fools, and here they are, George and Gracie.
Thank you. Well, Gracie, what do you say to everybody?
Hello.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, George, I'm having such a wonderful rest in New York. Nothing to do and all day to do it in.
So you're getting a good rest, I
Oh, yes. Last night I went to the Star Club, the El Morocco, the Ananetti's, the 21, the Paris, the Paradise, the Silver Slipper, the Cotton Club, and the Casino.
Well, those are nice places to rest.
Yeah, I think so. And tonight I'm going sightseeing, then taking a movie, walk up and down Broadway, then going to a cafe in Greenwich Village, and then drive out to the beach for a clam bake.
Clam bake. That's all, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that's not tiring.
Oh, no. They have somebody there to open the clams for you.
But those nightclubs, what would you call going to 20 nightclubs?
I'd call a taxi.
I'd call you an imbecile.
Are they cheaper than taxis?
Much cheaper, yes.
I say, George.
Oh, hello, Ray.
You know, George, I'm still worrying about the type of humor you want from me on this program.
I don't want any humor from you, Ray. I can tell the jokes on this program, and I can tell good ones, too.
All right, then tell me if this is a good one.
Mm.
I say to you, George, I went duck hunting last week, and I didn't shoot a single duck. And you say, why not? And I say, because I couldn't tell the single ones from the married ones.
Ray, do you believe in signs?
Oh, rather.
Well, go find a sign that says exit.
Oh, that is. Yes.
Isn't Ray clever?
Yes, he's brilliant, yes.
You know, if he got a nice coat of tan and then crossed his legs behind his head, he'd look like a pretzel.
Yes, and if he put on a little weight, he'd look like an old shoelace.
Well, aren't we all?
Yes.
Oh, there's Mr. Douglas. Hello, Mr. Douglas.
Hello.
Well, hello, Paul.
Hello, George.
Mr. Douglas, don't take this personally, but I must tell you about a dream of mine. We're riding in the moonlight, the car stops, and you take me in your arms and you hug and kiss me.
When did you dream that, Gracie?
Well, I haven't dreamt it yet. That's my dream for tonight.
I see what you mean. You have all your dreams planned before you go to sleep.
Oh, sure. Otherwise, I might dream about Clark Gable, and that wouldn't be fair to Mr. Douglas.
Well, of course, he could always dream about Carol Lombard.
Oh.
Telegram for Frank Parker.
Well, Mr. Parker won't be here until shortly after he arrives.
Oh, well, here, miss. Will you give it to him when he gets in?
Here's a 50-cent tip, kid. Don't forget everybody. Frank Parker owes me a half a dollar.
Don't believe him. He only gave me a nickel.
Screw, son. Gracie, you can't open Frank Parker's telegram.
Oh, listen to this. Just read that you're back in New York again, and we're giving you 2 days to come over and settle up last year's hotel bill. Signed, the Richmore Hotel.
Give me that telegram. I'd better put it back in the envelope here so that Frank won't know you opened it.
Oh, imagine Frank Parker sneaking out of the Richmore.
Gracie, why don't you mind your own business?
Giving him only 2 days. My daddy got 90 days. And I always mind my own business.
Yes, well, I've heard it whispered that you don't.
Well, now that's an idle rumor.
Opening Frank's telegram.
A false report.
Yeah, common gossip.
A busybody.
A busybody? Mm. What's a busybody?
Yeah, a hula dancer.
Oh, a hula dancer. Busybody. Oh, yeah. I see what you mean. Well, Frank Parker.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello, George. How many girls have been asking for me?
Take it easy, Frank. No girls have been asking for you.
Ah, but they will.
Mm. Frank, here's a telegram for you.
Oh, thanks. Say, that's a smart-looking suit you've got on, George.
Like it, huh?
Yeah, it just goes to show how silly it is to waste a gunny sack by filling it with potatoes.
Never mind, comedian. Just read the telegram.
Let's see. Just heard you're back in New York, and we're giving you 2 days to come back in New York and stand up. Ah, those women.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Anything important, Frank?
No, it's just from some dame whom I heard that was in town, and she wants me to go over to the hotel for cocktails.
Well, I wouldn't let it bother you, Frank.
Where does she live, Frank? At the Richmore Hotel?
Quiet, Gracie.
I know a man who sneaked out of the Richmore
Hotel. Nice weather.
But George, where did you see the pretty little girl that met me tonight, George? She's coming for later, and we're going to all
is
meet
her. Is that? Well, syncopated well, batter.
Her name is Betty McDermott. I'll tell you what happened.
Yes?
She was walking down Fifth Avenue looking very bored. And all of a sudden, I came along.
Well, yes, I guess that settled it, Frank.
Yeah, I knocked her right off her feet.
Mm.
What were you doing, riding a bicycle on the sidewalk?
Against the red light.
Oh. Mm. George, I'll bet the Richmore must be an expensive hotel, especially if you pay your bill.
Look, Gracie, some dark night when nobody is looking, something is going to happen to you.
You think I ought to take out insurance?
It wouldn't be a bad idea, because years ago, my mother took out accident insurance.
Yeah, but you were born just the same.
Like a haunting refrain, and I find you spinning round in my brain like the bubbles in a glass of champagne. You go to my head like a sip of sparkling burgundy brew, and I find the very mention of you like a kicker in a jaloop of buffaloo. The thrill of the thought that you might give a thought to my plea cast a spell over me. Still I say to myself, get a hold of yourself, can't you see that it never can be? You go to my head with a smile that makes my temperature rise like a summer with a thousand Julys. You intoxicate my soul with your eyes. So I'm certain that this heart of mine has the ghost of a chance in this crazy romance. You go to my head. You go to my head. The thrill of the thought that you might give a thought to my plea cast a spell over me. Till I say to myself, get a hold of yourself, can't you see that it never can be? You go to my head with a smile that makes my temperature rise like summer with a thousand Julys. You intoxicate my soul with your eyes. Oh, I'm certain that this heart of mine hasn't the ghost of a chance in this crazy romance. You go to my head. You go to my head.
Well, that was Frank Parker singing You Go to My Head. That was really beautiful, Frank.
Oh, thanks, George. I just hope that Betty McDermott was listening in. She gets such a kick out of me.
So do you. Hello? Oh, just a minute.
Oh, it's probably Betty.
Gracie, you want it on the phone.
Oh, all right. Wish all those handsome men wouldn't call me up in front of Mr. Douglas. It's embarrassing.
Will you answer the phone?
Oh, hello. This is Gracie Allen speaking. And I can't go out with you tonight because maybe I've got a date with Mr. Douglas.
Yeah, maybe not.
What? You say you've known me longer than Mr. Douglas? Well, that's funny. I don't recognize your voice.
Gracie, will you... Will
please, Gracie. What? You say you've known me ever since I was a little girl? Well, spell your name, please. Oh, now I remember. Hello, Mother.
Mother? Well, 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 I'm really surprised she could spell her name.
How are you, Mother? Really? Oh, poor Unky. How's Daddy, Mother? He is? Oh, poor Unky. How's my little nephew? Yeah? Oh, poor Unky. How's Unky, Mother?
Look, Gracie, will you break this up?
Mother, will you give Unky this message for me? Here it is. Goodbye.
Well, that's a smart message. Gracie, what's the matter with your uncle?
Well, Judge, you know where Unky's right leg used to be.
Where his right leg used to be?
Yes.
Well, I've got a rough idea.
Well, his left leg is there now.
His left leg is where his right leg used to be?
Yeah, but that's not the worst of it. His right leg is
where his
left
leg used to be. Look, let me get this straight.
Did Betty McDermott call yet, George?
Not yet.
Well, don't worry, she will.
Who's worried? So your uncle's left leg is where his right leg used to be.
George, were you ever in a train wreck?
Was I ever in a train wreck? Why, no.
Oh, that's a shame. What are you doing tonight?
Gracie, was your uncle in a train wreck?
Well, not exactly. You see, they called me from the receiving hospital and said, we've got a man here who says he's your uncle. So I said, congratulations, boy or girl. And
wait a
he
minute.
Said,
just a minute. Look, Gracie, how did your uncle get into this receiving hospital? What happened?
Well, am I telling you what happened or are you asking me?
You're telling me.
Well, all right, don't act like I'm doing it.
Now, look, let's start from the beginning.
All right. George, what's the matter with your uncle?
Oh, he's fine. My uncle. It's your uncle.
Oh, yes. Well, anywho, he's in the receiving hospital, and I was rushing down Fifth Avenue to get the subway when all of a sudden...
You were rushing down Fifth Avenue?
Yes.
The
and
subway
all...
is on 7th Avenue.
Yeah, I know, but all the nice stores are on 5th Avenue.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So, I thought I could run for the subway and do my window shopping at the same time.
That's because you were worried about your uncle.
Well, certainly. And then I ran into that dress shop that's owned by those people who came over in the Mayflower.
The Pilgrims?
No, Milgrims.
Oh, Milgrims, yes.
Yes. And I bought three dresses and a
Gracie,
cutest hat.
Gracie,
and...
what about your uncle?
Oh, Unky doesn't buy his clothes at Milgrams.
I guess your uncle gets his clothes in sacks.
No, just peanuts.
He gets peanuts in sacks.
Yeah, in those paper sacks.
Sacks, yes.
I say, George, old boy,
yes.
This piece of humor is so funny that every time I tell it, I burst. So I'd better unbutton my vest.
Well, all right, Ray. Get started and unbutton your vest.
I say, what kind of babies aren't born with bare feet? Mm. And you say, all babies are born with bare feet. And I say, oh, no, they're not. Baby tigers aren't born with bare feet.
Oh!
Ray, you can button your vest.
Oh, righto.
Betty McDermott hasn't called yet,
has
George?
Not yet, Frank. Not yet.
Well, I hope she gets here before I leave. You know, the kid's had enough...
You're listening to Classic TV and Radio on Radio America. We have a great variety of shows for you to enjoy, and we're adding more every day. We're happy you're listening, and we would appreciate any donations you could make so we can keep these great old programs coming. If there's a particular show you would like to hear, or you just want to make a comment, you can email us at radioamerica@inbox.com. Thank you, and join us again right here on Classic TV and Radio Shows.